Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everyone. It is Wendy from Love, Light, and Passion. I'm so excited to be bringing you yet another week of guests that are passionate about what they do and how they found what they do. So we're going to discuss that today. We have a guest who was supposed to be with us a few weeks ago. We had a little bit of a technical difficulty, and so we're really, really happy that she is with us today. Her name is Susan Burns, and she is an attorney, and she not only is an attorney, but she specifically works with small business owners as a business and legal advisor, and she's gone through watching what happens to entrepreneurs and other business people when they don't protect themselves as they start the business. So we're going to discuss some of these things specifically today in short bullets, of course, and conversation of how to protect your assets and move through your entrepreneurial space, because a lot of people are just like, hey, I'm going to start this group business, and it's great, and it is exciting, and you're following your passion. And we need to have other thought leaders in our communities and in our as colleagues and people we hire, so that we can do this successfully and continue to work on our passion without worrying about being held back because we didn't do it properly the first time. So, Susan, welcome.
Thank you, Wendy. I am so delighted to be here. And
excited you're here.
Yeah.
Where do you hail from, first of all? Let's tell everybody where you're from.
I'm from the great state of Minnesota, and I live in Minneapolis.
Mm-hmm. Very nice. I love that city. Beautiful city.
Yeah, fabulous.
There in St. Paul. I've visited them both. I love it there. So let's talk, though, because I was telling you before the show that we have a lot of entrepreneurs and females specifically who listen to the show during this week. And so I don't think people realize when they get into business, all they have to be, I don't want to say fearful of, but concerned about, because they're so excited about doing their business. I think ounce of prep goes a long way. To protect themselves.
That's a great way of saying it. That's a great way of saying it. And I agree. It's not about being afraid. In fact, if you address legal at the onset, you don't need to be afraid. It's
right.
Most entrepreneurs that I talk to that come to see me when they're in trouble in my private practice, it's because they have that little nagging fear in the back of their brain, but they didn't pay attention to it. And we all know about those things and listening to your instincts as entrepreneurs. We know that every time you ignore that is when you get in trouble. But, I think you're right. As entrepreneurs, and I've done it myself, in addition to being an attorney and representing women small business owners, I am also an entrepreneur. I started Small Business Legal School. And while it addresses legal issues, which I'm well-versed in, it's a whole nother business. I'm familiar from that side as well. And I kind of think it's like childbirth. If you knew at the beginning what the pain was going to be, you may not do it. But you might think twice about it. It's the same with launching a business. Great idea. Everybody's enthusiastic, supporting. And then, whoa, it's a boatload of work. But, as we were discussing, one of the things I've seen I've been doing this for 35 years, and one of the things I've seen over the course of the last few years that's really exciting to me is the number of women entrepreneurs, and I think that's just thrilling. The thing I see, though, is that women have a particular blind spot, and that's a generalization, of course, but a particular blind spot for legal, because they think they'll just work it out if there's a problem. And that's a big misnomer.
And I think, I think what happens too is that that women are very, very intelligent creatures. We run households, we run businesses, we run, you know, all of this stuff. And I think you do, there's this communication thing, so you'll work it out. But I think men have more of a tendency in general to protect their assets. And so as women are growing in businesses, we need to, if we're going to shift in that way, then we need to shift with remembering to protect ourselves as entrepreneurs, and that it's not about communication. And a lot of times legal stuff happens because of simply that miscommunication or not the right amount in the beginning of it, again, with the prep. So I think that's what ends up happening. And I think some of it is a learning process, but it's easier if you learn and you have an expert in your corner to do that. Because I know a lot of people who open up businesses and they would never even think about consulting an attorney. Things for confidentiality clauses, for all sorts of, you know, waivers, all of sorts of stuff. And I think that makes a big, and one of the things I see the most is a contract, not knowing how to do a contract, so that when you have a client, there's no question about what's going on and who's providing what.
Yeah, you know, you just took the words right out of my mouth, Wendy, because I was going to say that's one of the biggest things that I see people in my office for in my private practice is they come in and they'll download a form from the internet, fill in the blanks, don't understand it, and then they'll give it to the other person and have them sign it, and then there's a problem, and they come in to see me, and I'm like, okay, so what does this mean? Oh, I don't know, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so that's just such a critical element. But, you know, you mentioned communication, and I think that one of the – well, so let me just back up and say I started Small Business Legal School, and it's a forum for teaching entrepreneurs about the legal aspects of the business and what you need to pay attention to, know when to hold and when to fold and when to walk away and run. And
mm-hmm.
It also – one of the topics we cover is contracts, and it's understanding the basic elements of a contract and why you need to make sure you have a legally adequate contract to protect you. One of the key elements of going, a lot of women say, oh, I don't want to get too legal. And first of all, there isn't such a thing as too legal. There might be legally cumbersome language, and that can be corrected by drafting it so that it's not that awkward, with a few minor exceptions. The key point about contract is when you give somebody on the other that you're dealing with a contract, it really helps enhance the communication, because that gives them the opportunity to say, oh, wait, no, this isn't what I thought we were doing. And it gives you an opportunity to clarify what the parameters of the deal are, or the terms of what you're doing ahead of time, so you avoid those problems down the line. And that is such a critical element.
So let me ask you this. Let's just back up for anybody who's like, I've got this idea. Because that's how it starts, right? They go, I got this great idea. I'm going to make money out of it. And it's wonderful. I mean, they may be passionate about crafting or you know, they realize that they could coach an area, whatever it is, whatever you dream about doing, because you realize that you have something to offer there, because that's where it starts. What's the first step as soon as they get, legally that they should look at? Because for me, it's, okay, so you're going to make it into a business. And I would, when I did mine was, well, what kind of business am I going to be? A sole proprietor? Am I going to be an LLC? Should I incorporate already? You know, so that's where I start. But is there a step before that? And then,
yeah, there are basically two things in the beginning that you really want to think about. Well, first of all, what's your business name going to be? If you're planning on growing your business, and this is a step that people often overlook, because they think, oh, what a creative name, and they start their business and they're growing, and then, oh, somebody else has that name and it's trademarked, and now I'm this far in, everybody knows my brand, and I have to shift. That's expensive. So one of the anybody listening to your program would say, want to get in touch with me, and we'll get to how to do that at the end. But I have a module that's going to be a free download.
Oh, great.
It's not ready yet, but it's on selecting a business name. And there are just certain steps to go through, and that's one of the critical things. Then the next step, I think, is what type of business am I going to be? Am I going to be a sole proprietorship, as you mentioned, Wendy, or am I going to choose a business entity to, as I say, my hashtag is cover your assets, to protect myself from exposure to personal liability? So what you're looking at there is how, what's your amount of risk? And sometimes that's where I think you want to consult with a lawyer and say, you know, because a lot of times people think they don't have risk, and they do. They have some risk exposure. It's not something you necessarily need to do right immediately, but fairly soon, if you're serious about growing your business, you want to either be an LLC or a corporation, an S-corp or a benefit corporation. You want to make that decision fairly early in your operations so you're protected from the get-go.
And I can confirm with that because I did start as a sole proprietorship, and then I had to switch to LLC, which wasn't – that was it. You put all the paperwork in, but it was the banking. What a pain in the butt. I was like, oh, I never want to do this again. You have to change the account. You have to put, I was like, seriously, you have to open a new one. You have to wait, and you have to do it within so many months. And I was like, there is a lot to it. So I think if you know early, it would have avoided me doing that later. You know, if I would have paid for the cost. And it was like, it was just time consuming after the fact.
That's a great point, because it is. And people think, oh, I'll just save money and do it later. Well, later you're busy, and then you have to take the time to do that. So time is money. How much money do you really save?
Right.
So, and I think one of the things that a smart entrepreneur will do is immediately when they set their business plan and their budget, they'll put a line item for legal. Even if they don't use it, they have that amount in their budget. So when they do need legal, they have it. That's a critical element. And you know, the resistance is, well, I don't, you know, I think women don't take themselves and their business ideas so seriously in the beginning. And that's another one of our downfalls is, oh, it's just me. It's just what I do. I love what I do. And when you think about it, I don't think somebody like Beyonce, for example, ever said, oh, I just want to sing. I don't care how much they pay me sing, or I don't care what's in the contract. I just want to show up on stage and sing. When you look at successful business women, they are not ignoring legal. It's a part of growing up, if you will, in your business sense. Making legal your silent business partner will make you stronger and much more successful. And it's
Let's talk about that too, because people do take silent big business partners because they you know, they need assets in the beginning, they need whatever, and that can get you into trouble later if everything isn't set in stone early on to know the expectations and make everything stressful.
Yes. Yes. Do not have anybody invest in your business without having everything written down, a legal binding agreement about what is going on and who is on first. And do not, even if you're borrowing money from your mom and dad, have a promissory note.
Well, and you know why? What I have seen, this is just in my experience, because you know I do marketing for companies, so I've seen where, you know, and things like this, and people don't think this far ahead, but this is what I've seen, is that there'll be a silent business partner calling me all the time, all of a sudden, saying, no, this is not how we're going to market the business. And I'm like, where did you come from? Who am I listening to? You know, things like that. And people don't realize that, because then all of a sudden, because it wasn't written down, they start to have more say into the business than the person who's running it, who is their passion in the first place to make it go. you know, because there's not clear lines of who's running it and who's got really say into it as an investing
partner. That's not really a silent business partner, somebody that would pick up the phone.
Exactly.
Oh,
there was no silence after that.
Yeah. Yes, definitely. And you don't want to give up your business idea to somebody for it might seem like a great idea, and if it is, it will withstand a well-drafted agreement.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right, exactly. So, you know, and think, but people don't realize that. And I think I see it sometimes more just because of what I do, because I'll get phone calls and I'm like, where did you come from? And so one of the things that I make clear in my contract that I need to work with one person, because otherwise you're listening to three different. So, and I have that too, where I have like three business owners, and one will tell me one thing, and the other will tell me another. And I went through that once in my contract change. And and is that true too? Is that sometimes you go through stuff? I mean, not in big legal things, but you go through stuff and you go, yep, nope, got to write that in the contract now because you didn't foresee that happening. I'm sure that, you know, where you have to make amendments.
That happens all the time, and it can be in big deals and it can be in small deals. And even for me, having done this for as long as I have, when I work with a client, I draft a master agreement for them or different contracts for their business. I say, look, we're doing our best right now to think of everything we can think of. When you need to look at this contract, for example, if it's an employment agreement and your employee either leaves or you fire them, when you need to look at this, there will be things that come up that we didn't think of. Because almost in every situation, it's different. So we will be tweaking your master agreement as we go along. You know, it gets better and better over time. And the example you gave is perfect.
Right.
I didn't know I would need to have in there, here, this is the point. This is ABC Corporation. I'm working with you, and Jane Smith is the point person. No. It's smart
businesses will
do that.
Let me tell you, and especially for what I do in marketing, it'll get you in trouble so quickly. And then you have the other one going, I can't believe you put that on there. And you're like, well, you know, so it teaches, especially for anything. And I think and this is just from my experience, is anything that goes on online, because it's kind of there forever, you know what I mean? It has this imprint.
Yeah.
That's where you really need to make sure for your business that you know, like, I'm so critical thinking about that stuff, because I'm like, that could, you know, one wrong move and you can kind of be ruined forever. So it's taught me some valuable lessons, because the last thing I want is somebody saying, well, she didn't do a good job because she didn't listen to A, B, and C. And so you need to have that backed up. So what are some legally savvy things that you can do early on so that you have room to grow? I mean, the contracts are one, as you need to tweak them, but what else happens that you need to, like, know that as you grow, that has to be legally in place? Because we don't think about it, because we're only making, you know, maybe we're only making a couple $100 a month, and all of a sudden we're making, you know, your business starts pecking up. So what happens in that growth spurt that you all of a sudden have to pay more attention to legally?
Well, I think we've touched on the basics, and we cover 10 different modules in Small Business Legal School. And, the first, obviously, making sure that your name is available for use and it's not trademarked by somebody else, your business name and your trade name. The business entity, how you're going to be, because you don't want to be addressing that when you're in growth mode, having very solid contracts in place, whether that's, you know, if you're a coach, a coaching agreement, or your vendor agreements, or employee agreements, whatever that is. And then trademarking your business name is an issue that a lot of people save until they need it. That I'm doing air quotes in need, but once their business gets up and running and they see that it's going to be viable and go, that would be something you'd want to pay attention to, is trademarking, so that you protect your name against use. I think other things are making your website legal with you know, addressing copyright issues and all your disclaimers and everything, and that's a mistake I see a lot of people make. They borrow a disclaimer from their friend and substitute names or the privacy policy, and it's actually incorrect or those kinds of things, which is also a contract. But you don't want to or download a form. And I actually, there was a service on Fiverr that said, you know, lawyer drafted and we'll give this to you for, I don't remember if it was 10 or 5. Anyway, I was like, oh, I want to see what this is. So I paid for it. And it was governed by British law.
See, and that's an interesting thing because, and, you know, it's very funny. It's good that you say that because I've run, over the years, the course of the years, I can't tell you how many, you know, contests I've ran on social media. And I always, or even now for Facebook ads, and it's right to your point, like you can collect emails on through a Facebook ad now, through Facebook, but not if you do not have your privacy policies on your website.
Mm-hmm.
You can't run them.
Mm-hmm.
I can't tell you how many people don't even have that. Like, it's not even, it's a borrow. I'm like, all right, where's your privacy policies or your, you know, on your web? They don't even know what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And they can't do what they need to do advertise. I can't do anything for them until they have it.
Right.
That just amazes me all the time.
Well, and that's why I started Small Business Legal School, because we don't all know everything. And people
mm-hmm.
when they start a business, a lot of times don't think, well, I need there's because legal is everywhere. And I have clients that I've been working with for a few months, and then they go, okay, when are we going to be done with legal? And I'm like, what? Never? You have a business,
right.
And you're in growth mode. No, you are never done with legal. It is with you. It's part of, it's like marketing. It's like sales. It's like
mm-hmm.
production. It's, when am I done with accounting? No.
Right.
Never. You know, oh, when can I be done paying taxes? You can't. So I think that's another thing that people really don't understand. And I'm not sure why that is, but part of my mission is to level the playing field here and make legal information accessible to small business owners so they know, and maybe they won't pay attention to it in the first place, but they'll have context and they'll go, that's what she was talking about. That's what I need to do. Okay, I got it.
Right.
And to empower people and to give them language to deal with it, because I also think for a lot of people, they think it's scary. You know, it's that whole, it's an other, and I don't know anything about it, and I'll feel stupid and all that kind of stuff. So we want to give small business owners, and my passion in particular is women small business owners, context, framework, and to be able to stand on their own and be the CEO and run that business. Like,
let me ask you, because this is what I hear a lot. Like, I'm involved in a lot of online forums with women business owners, and is how many people or how many women in general somebody will not pay, and they, you know, and people will say, well, what's it in your contract? And they'll say, well, it's in my contract, they have to pay, and then they don't go after it anyway. So do you see that, and how do you, and because I'm like, well, if it's written that way, is it because you think it's a fear of confrontation, or you fear of that their contract wasn't right, or I can't tell you how many times, and they ask, and it always boils down to, well, what was in your contract? What was that? But I feel bad. Like, but that's not helping yourself. Like,
yeah, I think a lot of times that can be a self-esteem issue.
It's amazing to me
mm-hmm.
how many times.
Mm-hmm.
And when do you think, let me ask you, and is it based on a time limit, or that you say, okay, they're not going to pay and I need to take action? And then, you know.
That's a good
question.
Go ahead.
Well, no, and because I see it, like, they're like, well, they might pay, or I'm still doing business with them, and I'm like, but they haven't paid you.
That is one thing that makes me crazy. Yes,
mm-hmm.
They're not paying me, but I'm still going to do the work. No. Put that
right.
in your contract. Here's the payment schedule. If you don't pay, I don't work. And if you're, like, developing a website, for example,
mm-hmm.
It's not going up. You approve it, pay me, and then, you know, so those are the kinds of things you really want to have. Or coaching, people will sell packages, and then I've been consulted several times on this, where they'll be going along and the client won't pay, but, well, I'll just keep coaching. No, you won't.
Right.
And I felt bad. Well, sure, you can feel bad. That's fine. You can feel sorry for someone to say, here. And it enables people, actually, when you don't hold them to their end of the bargain. Right.
Right.
It enables them to just continue being in their own dysfunctional operational system. So I think you want to, but the timing is different with every business. So you'll start and you'll say, here, okay, you need to pay. And if it's by a certain time, okay, we'll suspend services until you can pay. That usually will get people to pay. But if it's all said and done and they're supposed to make a final payment and they're not doing it, you send them a notice that they need to pay you, give them a couple of weeks. If they don't, you send another notice, and then you may have a lawyer send a letter, or you know, there's conciliation court or small claims court in most states. Just file. And once you
right.
start doing that, but you make sure that your contract is governed by the laws of the state of your that you're in, and that your you know, they call it venue, that it's your permission to where you can sue somebody. And people don't want to get a reputation for being litigious, of course not. But
right.
you also want it. You want your customers to know, or your clients to know, that take your business seriously, you do great work, and you expect to be paid for it. And who doesn't? Who wants to work for free?
No, that's not working. That's volunteering.
Yes, exactly.
Whole other thing. I can't believe it, that half an hour always goes so fast. So just, we have about two minutes left. So I want to know, because you do have an offer, about how people can get in touch with you, what the offer is, and so that because I think it is really important. I think you've opened the eyes to many things today as far as business, and
I think it's in your show notes, but yeah, I do for smallbusinesslegalschool.com, and there's a link you can email, but it's susan@smallbusinesslegalschool.com. And on Twitter, it's @GetLawsome. And Facebook, Small Business Legal School Limited. The offer is, if you can sign up on the website for a 5-day mini course, and it's a Cover Your Assets mini course. It covers basics, 1-minute videos, very short snippets of practical things you can implement to help yourself in your business. And also, if you sign up before the 22nd of October, you will receive a 10% off coupon code for
Great.
Small Business Legal School. And so there's a link on your show notes, and would love to see you, and really would love to help you learn to cover your assets and get that legal monster out from under your bed so that you can look it square in the eye. Yeah. It's a critical part of success. So we'd love to see you at smallbusinesslegalschool.com.